Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello, 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 everyone. 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock on the dot. I see we have, okay, we have both hosts in the queue. We'll be with you in 1 second. I just wanted to say a couple of things first. My name is Jay Sean from Keeping It Real. This evening we have a very important podcast this evening. It's a little different, but it's very important. I'm looking forward to it, and we had a couple of people who was looking forward to it too. We have two very talented and experienced hosts that's going to be giving you different, I guess, points of views. I'm not going to talk much about what they're going to do because I'm going to let them do that. But I just want everybody to sit back, and if you got a pen and a piece of paper, just take notes, because for the next hour, you'll be getting a lot of informative information. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I'm going to let them tell you what the show is going to be about. All I'm going to say is just sit back and relax and be prepared for a great show. To the two hosts, Dre is controlling the boards. And if you hear the doorbell ring, you will know it's a caller. If you don't hear the doorbell ring, then it's no caller yet. But once you hear the doorbell ring, you'll know that's somebody that want to come in and speak to one or two of you. If you feel like you need a break, we just say, I need a break, and then, you know, Dre play a little intermission, a little music or a commercial or something like that. I don't want to take up too much time because everybody know how I talk. We're going to go right into it and bring the host in. Evagine, you here? And Mr. Solution,
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I'm here. Clearly. Hello.
Oh, okay, how all right. Hello. I just wanted to give a little introduction, but I'm going to let you and Mr. Solution and Evagine take it away. Like I said, if you hear the doorbell ring, you know you have somebody who want to speak to one of you or go live. Since this is the pilot, podcast, the first one, so everybody just bear with us. But ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Solution and Evagine, the ABCs of finance. Let's take a look.
Well, you know, hi,
so,
hello. All right, go ahead, Eva Danae. Go right ahead. Go right ahead, please.
Well,
how's your day been,
by
the way?
My day is great. My day has been great. My week has been great. And I hope the same for everyone who's listening. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I just wanted to mention, as a disclaimer at the top of the show, that neither I, Evagine Smith, nor Mr. Solution are registered security agents and brokers. We're here to share information, to receive information, so that we can grow as a community and be better in the end. So we are here bringing what we have, and we hope that as you listen in, we'll hear the doorbell ring or you can text 347-457-2769, or you can email teamfollowme@yahoo.com for this show or any of the future shows with your questions and with your comments so that we can bring answers and solutions to this podcast. I'd like to thank Jay Sean, Keeping It Real, and Andre in the back handling technology for allowing this type of show come onto the platform, when you have an audience, you want to give the audience all of what they need or all of what they need. This is an extension, and I'm grateful, and I thank you. Mr. Solution?
Yeah, I thank you. I just want to say this about Ms. Eva Dene, and that is that, you know, now she charges for her services, and I just thought of what a wonderful thing this is, a gift, that she is donating this. And I understand, and correct me if I don't get this correctly, is that you charge $50 an hour, 2 hours minimum. I think that's what I heard you say at our last discussion, correct?
It is correct, for consultation, correct.
Right, consultation, I'm sorry. And so, you know, so you guys, I mean, this is coming to you, and I hope you really benefit from it. I hope it's fun, and it should be made fun. You can get, I heard Jashan say a moment ago that you need pencil and paper, and that's a good idea. I highly recommend that. But you don't have to see it as anything laborious. You know, take notes, things that interest you that you hear so that you may refer back to it. Because this is a lifelong issue, and either you plan to deal with it or it overtakes you. So certainly we don't want the latter. We want the former. And so I think this should be a great start.
Thank you. So I am a life insurance agent / broker, and that's life, health, and specified health. I can provide those services to you, anyone who's listening, in the areas in the states that I'm licensed in, or I have partners in all 52 states that can assist us with this. I'm also a registered tax preparer, income tax preparer, and that's for individuals, families, and corporate and business. So we are here to help you and to guide you in a direction that will not only benefit you, but that will benefit your family moving forward. Even if you have next year, you want to start putting in place good practices so that practice will make perfect. And what we want to think about is that we may take today as a cloud day, though it's beautiful here in New York, but there are those days where it looks like life is coming down on you. You don't know where you're going to get your funds from to cover just your basics. Well, think about not having to think about that in the future. You may need to do for that not to be a thought, but not again, just for you, for your family, for your heirs, for your friends. It's not about selfishness at all. You will get information through this series, which I believe is going to run through September 25th on Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. You're going to receive information. I always call it food for thought, but as the food comes in and it's processed, it gets stored. You have no idea when you're going to be able to share with someone something that you've learned here or anywhere else. Food for thought. Keep that in mind. Definitely have your paper available. Also, these shows are recorded. You could always come back on to Keeping It Real. I will actually put it up on my YouTube as well. So YouTube is Ivadene Smith. If you haven't noticed, to see how to spell my name, Ivadene Smith, 3986. I will put it up on YouTube. Make it accessible to you. We don't want secrets. If we wanted secrets, we wouldn't be here. We're here to share valuable information. Ms. Solution?
Yes, yes, yes. And I was just going to say just a little bit of background. I think you were giving some, and that's fine, although this is oftentimes not here, but it could be a combative radio. Look, I am I'm a former military man, and I studied with the Army Corps of Engineers in electrical and mechanical engineering. I worked as a civilian for the Navy for a number of years on propulsion systems and non-destructive testing. I was going to say, additionally, I also worked in as a mediator, right, and dealing with complaints, in-house, in-house complaints, solving those complaints over a number of years, and really saving the company and individuals a lot of money and time. And additionally, I'm a successful investor. I like to say it that way. Zero debt, which is what I would like everyone to aspire to. And according to, I'll give you a couple of books or references, Robert Kiyosaki points out that if one is successful in 3 out of 5 investments, that's 60%, they are considered successful if they are profitable in 3 out of 5. So I've certainly done that, and I would like everybody to do that, because I think when you conquer the financial system, the capitalistic system, you're happier, you know, and stress is a major source of problems for people related to their finances. Stress will worsen everything. That's what it does. So I'll just throw out a few topics. And see, you guys have a real treat in Miss Eva Dene, in that she does all these different things. And taxation, for example, a couple of the subjects that I think very critical, taxation and spiritual entrepreneurship, credit, right, personal budget. And I'm going to share a little bit. I just recently got a credit card statement, so I'm going to hit some high points on it. And I think it's interesting to actually understand credit, to navigate it. But anyway, credit, personal budget, retirement, which Gerber now is advancing the notion of getting retirement accounts for newborns. Of course, life insurance. And again, Ms. Eva Dene is a she sells insurance, and she is a fiduciary. And I vetted her just a little bit, you know, with that. And I think that's crucial to any financial advisor that one, you know, visits or consults, that they be a fiduciary. And that means that they look out for your interest and not theirs. And you might say, well, wouldn't that be the case always? No. A lot of financial advisors will sell you product and then go back and short it, right? So they're not working for you. They're working for themselves. So they're just taking your money, in other words. But she's not that of that particular genre. She is a fiduciary. All right, life insurance, savings, investing, church finance and tithing, if you want to get into that, and also college funds for your children and how to finance those. So those are some subjects that maybe not all of them, and certainly I don't claim to be an expert in everything, and I'm not, although I do quite a bit, but I love to refer people to qualified people. I call those people my team members, my financial team members. So, I would just leave it at that, and we can tackle those topics, just get into them and tear them apart.
Thank you. But I feel like starting with basic budgeting, just to review it, for individuals who may not be aware of the importance of having a basic budget. You know, we know what we receive and we spend it out, and sometimes we spend out so much we have to wait until the next piece comes in. But if we prioritize, and I'm calling it like fixed expenses and then variable expenses, during the last couple of years when everyone was locked in, money was coming in different sources, whether it was unemployment or the jobs were still paying them, they were working remotely, the people, some realized how much money they were saving without commuting. You know, they were home, they were working from home, getting the job done, but they weren't spending on car fare. They weren't spending on getting their hair done or their faces shaven. They weren't getting their manicures and pedicures, and they were kind of lenient on their extracurricular habits as well. And they should have saved or were able to save so much money just by not doing the things that we have been branded to do as being important. So basic budgeting is important because you want to look at the true value of your ongoing income, the income that comes into you weekly, biweekly, or monthly. You want to look at that to see how it can best work for you, not just today, because we talk about finance. It's about your forever tomorrow, and again, because of your family or your friends. Sometimes we don't have children, but we have friends, and we have friends who have children. If we have this car, we set them up in a certain kind of way. So the basic budgeting is looking at your income and saying how much of this income needs to go to my fixed expenses. And that would be your household expenses, your rent, your utilities, and we can include your cell phone. It seems to be major today. So utilities, electricity, cell phone, gas, if you have, and your food. Those are the majors, the roof over your head, the food you eat, and the lights that must stay on. Communication devices. Okay, we got that. And then you look at your variables. So that would be the extra things that you want to get. And okay, I'm going to believe you already have clothing. And sometimes we need to look at that. Sometimes we might have the habit of shopping, whether it's for ourselves or our family, our children. But kind of your closets and your dresser drawers to see how many of each item you actually have and how many of them you haven't used and may not use. And that will help to determine whether or not you need to buy more or share some. You know, just a clearing out of your space if you're looking to move yourself and motivate yourself in a direction that you want to go in. And I'm not saying you don't need them, but when it comes to spending money, see if you need to spend more money on something that you may already have or something that you just want and that you don't have a real need for, because now we're talking about putting away some savings, but more investment. And the difference between savings and investment is the rate of return. Correct, Mr. Solution?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're doing it. That's wonderful. Great information. Please continue.
So you want to look at your, thank you, you want to look at your income. You want to look at your fixed, remember, fixed expenses, and you want to list these. Come away from your device for a minute and list these things on paper. Sometimes we need to go back to our basics. Get a piece of paper, maybe a paper towel, but no, I know you have a piece of paper in the house. Get a blank piece of paper and you write your budget. And let's just do the budget for September. You're going to write out your income that you know is coming in based on everything remaining the same. Your household fixed. Now, some of your other fixed expenses, if you have children and they're in daycare or after school, they are fixed expenses as well. So family dynamics makes a difference. And then look at your variable expenses, and that's going to be, again, your appearance spending for your hair, for your nails. I believe people are spending close I'm going to say $200 every 2 or 3 months. And I know that's probably a low end, every 2 or 3 months for the appearance expenses. But just think about, again, those last 2 years. I am totally sorry for all the loss of life, but I am ever so grateful for the right in front of your face that shutdown gave us an opportunity to see what was right in front of your face, what you absolutely needed, who you were absolutely involved with, how you absolutely felt about your so many absolutes in that shutdown that came up out of the ground. And so just refer back to that. Refer back to what you did without. And if you're referring back, that means you survived it. So if you're thinking about building for your future, I'm going to say sacrifice, consider sacrificing, but you're really not going to sacrifice because we know how to do the things that we're paying other people to do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to shut down anybody's business. Just kind of taper your spending in certain areas. Okay, so then you're going to have savings. You need to have money that you can put your hands on in case of emergency. I remember back in the day, I'm so old right now, but I remember back in the day, they were, and they still probably have them, a lot of the credit unions would have vacation clubs and Christmas clubs and different clubs, and it was just where a piece of money would go into, out of your paycheck, a piece of money would go into those accounts so that at a specific time, of course, Christmas in December, you had that money where you could go shopping and treat your loved ones really well. And then the vacation club allowed you, I guess it lasted for a year, that when it was vacation time, you had that money that you could spend on vacation. You can invest some of that money where it is still available to you to use when you need to use it, but it could be earning more and building more. Go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, exactly. Look here, a couple of things. Now, the Fed has a 2% targeted inflation rate, 2%, and that's 2% per annum, as I understand it. And I never understood why we needed any inflation or why inflation was a goal to be achieved because, inflation destroys one's purchasing power. And the thing is, I'll just quote Warren Buffett here. He says that only one person in a million understands inflation. Inflation is a hidden tax that steals your money. Now, as was just pointed out, we try and offset that with interest that we earn on our money. But I'm going to share a couple of tools with you. What I would encourage people to do is go to the Minneapolis Federal Reserve. It's the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. And why do I want you to go there? What I want you to do is I want you to actually understand money. We all deal with it, but very few people really understand money. And money is very necessary in a sophisticated commercial system. It's not like barter. It's the ultimate settlement of debts. And so what the Federal Reserve Bank does is they explain inflation. They go all the way back to 1913. And I'm looking at the website right now. If you, like I say, it's www.minneapolis.org. And what it does is it shows you how much money one would need in today's dollars to equal, say, dollars in the past. They start at 1913. They tell you what a dollar would purchase, a basket of goods. That's where we get to our food and fuel and all the things that we buy. And so even though we're earning more dollars, I think it was recently said the average worker hasn't gotten a raise in over like 40 years when adjusted for inflation. So a lot of people are hurting right now is what I'm saying. And we are over $1 trillion in personal debt. Many people are living off their credit cards. Robert Kiyosaki talks about, he says, savers are fools. And you have to be careful there because what he means is and I think there's a word, too. He says cash is trash. I don't know if you guys have heard that. But what he's trying to get one to understand is that the system is rigged. The system is rigged. And so unless one understands the system, it's going to work its magic on you in the negative. So everything that's been said is phenomenal. It's wonderful. But there's some underlining information that you're going to have to get to really help you. Two terms I like to use, be competitive, because this is a competitive reality dealing with money. And you're going to have to negotiate really well. Now, I love saving money, and I buy in bulk. I buy everything in bulk. I never pay retail. I don't like retail. I like wholesale. So I buy my insurance, and you may say, well, how does one buy insurance wholesale? Well, you put down a larger deductible. If you have a choice between, say, a $250 deductible and a $500 or $1,500 deductible, you need to, what I like to do is get the higher deductible. That means I hear someone chuckling, so go ahead.
No, that's right, go ahead.
Hey, yeah. Well, see, the higher deductible means that I'm taking on more risk, and therefore I pay a lower price. If I pay the minimum deductible, that means that the insurer is taking on most of the risk, so they're going to charge me more. And being a great negotiator, I love negotiating. I think I'm an excellent negotiator, and I like to teach people how to negotiate. First of all, one must be informed, know what you're getting. Cable companies, I think, are very thuggish. I think they run roughshod over people. Most of us like our cable. We have to get it. I think they're forming monopolies now, if not oligopolies. But the point is, you have to be able to deal with those people. And with your cable company, go to the customer retention, you know, when you renew your contract. They don't like to call it a contract, but really it is a contract. But, you know, you can get it at a lower rate. And, you know, if I'm buying cable, for example, I'll buy it for a year. I don't pay by the month or 2 years. In other words, and going to what Dave Ramsey teaches, you through hard work, and Ms. Eva Denae, I would like to get your notion on this. I heard Jay Shuns last week. And I would like for him to chime in again. He was very honest. One thing he didn't say is what I suggested wouldn't work. He said that he wouldn't do it, at least now he wouldn't do it. And I recommended that working 60 to 80 hours a week, and if one is young and healthy, and I'm going to say if one is under 50, see, you're going to have to get the money because when you go to a person like Ms. Eva Denae to be counsel on your finances, you've got to bring her some money. I mean, she's going to ask you, what are we working with at some juncture? She's going to ask you, what are we working with? And so you've got to have the money there to, you know, you've heard the old adage, it takes money to make money. So I recommend that 60 to 80 hours a week for from 3 to 5 years. Now, one may be able to reach critical mass prior to then, but between 3 and 5 years, one would be completely out of debt, and one, I believe, will have reached cruising altitude. And realize in this financial situation, you can't do it by yourself. Now, at a certain point, I mean, you are the quarterback, but you're going to need the amount of money to pay off all your debt. And that means no one is coming to you for anything. I notice with a lot of these discussions, they will show people getting these bills with past due notices, and maybe you've never got one of them, but you know people who have. So, but and truthfully, if you have gotten one, they're not nice, past due bills. And with this interest rate going up, a lot of people are going to lose their homes because they got it at a low rate. And I think they call those balloon interest rates, where they balloon up. But they feel that the people could refinance, but maybe they can't. And so now people are going from like 3, I think the 30-year fix now is 7%. But at any rate, the people who got the balloon interest rates that follow the stock market, they're going up. And from what I understand, a lot of people are going to lose their homes because now the monthly payment has tripled, and they can't handle that amount. Now, something that was mentioned earlier, financial advisors used to say to us, have between 3 and 6 months cash on reserve in a money market and some sort of account where you can get it within, we usually consider it within 30 days is considered readily available, if one can get a hands on their money within 30 days. So anyway, from 3 to 6 months, but now they tell us one needs a year's salary set aside for things like job loss, your transmission goes out, your refrigerator. If you're living in your domicile, then if your roof leaks, you've got to get that repaired. So having the funds available is going to be crucial. And I would say to many of you, if you don't care about this very much, transfer this information to your children and grandchildren. That is very, very important. Rick Edelman has a book called Squirrel Manifesto, and it's written for kids. Robert Kiyosaki has a book. In addition to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he has a game that you can play with your children to teach them the concepts of money. It's better than Monopoly. The game is kind of expensive, so you may want to go in with someone or get it on eBay. But it's very important to, you know, pass this information once you acquire it, to pass it on to your kids and grandkids, because it's going to be harder on them. I shared shared the debtclock.org, and I was just going to pull this up. Miss Eva Dene, you're familiar with the debtclock.org, correct?
Not with the website, no, but I do see it.
Okay, well, oh, wow, that's a loud tone. What I would share with you guys, just speaking of debt, based on our national debt. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Good evening, everybody. This is Nephew O. How's it going?
Oh, hey, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Hey. I just wanted to chime in really quick, man, on what you guys
sure.
have been talking about. Definitely great information, efficient information. And what I want to say is, I think it's very, very, very critical and important for people to realize and understand the fundamentals of liabilities versus assets and being rich versus being wealthy. I feel like a lot of people don't know just the basic fundamentals of that. Even with
buying a home, you know, it can potentially be a liability versus a asset. I would consider myself more of a sophisticated.
I'm sorry, Nephew O, you're fading out.
Can you hear me now?
Perfect, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to repeat what I said. So I said the fundamentals, I think people, it's important that people understand the fundamentals and the basic. When it comes to finances, like I said, liabilities versus assets and the difference between being rich and wealthy. Me personally, I would consider myself more of a sophisticated investor based off my portfolios, but I think this is much needed, and people got to understand, you know, one penny can make a difference in your lifetime investments. Because a lot of people, what I've learned in my time this far is I don't necessarily need a 401k to build my own retirement, to create a generational wealth. You know, there's things out here right now that's at an all-time high. You got CDs out here at a 5.71%. That's for short terms, you know, 9 months, 15 months, six. There's so many safer ways if you want to be more or less a safe investor, you know, to where you can build your money. You know, the little pack of cigarettes that you're buying at the store for $5 or those Debbie snacks and all of that can be invested into something that, hell, you might have your own snack truck within the next 5 years. But, you know, you got to you got to plant a seed somewhere is what I'm trying to get to. And if you don't plant that financial seed, you're not going to have no fruit from that tree. So, yeah, that's how I like to look at it. That's all I wanted to add to it this evening.
Very good. Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's true. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say, I know I'm saying thank you for that information, and that it is valuable. It was on the Ramsey show today, this young lady called in, and she was sad because she just inherited so much money from her dad. Of course, he passed. And her fear was that she was going to run through it like water. She was going to run through it like water because she previously had, you know, just run through money, not really understanding, not being educated on, not practicing the possible education that she had on money. Because sometimes we know, but we don't do. So I didn't want to say she was uneducated. But she was educated now enough that she called into that show to get advice. And he advised her to get whatever comes in, put it into a savings until she gets her emotions under control, because loss is great. And then he's putting her into his program so that she could build accordingly. But people think that owning a home, I struggle with it, because you have some people say owning a home is not an asset, it's a liability. But I look at it as a way of building wealth, because as you're paying your mortgage, if you happen to have one, as you're paying your mortgage, you're depositing money. That's equity. That's building up. And it can benefit you in the end, because I always recommend people who are seniors who own homes who are struggling and complaining about money because they're still paying a mortgage, I always recommend the reverse mortgage so that they can live happily ever after, as we were told we were supposed to do. But I also tell them to get a term policy for whatever monies they pull out of that house, if and only if there's family members that you want to get the house back when you pass. But in you have deposited.
Most people can tell you all day long how to spend it, but they can't tell you how to save it and invest it. And as far as the house is concerned, like, I feel like a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people go out and get these 30-year fixes and take off more than what they can chew. They say, oh, well, we're going to give you $600,000 to go and buy a house. They're going to find a way to spend that whole $600,000. So there's ways around that, too. With a good financial planner, if you do want to go ahead and get you a $500,000 house, you don't have to go and get you a $500,000 house. You can go out and get you a $200,000 house and kind of finesse and invest the rest if you know how to do it properly.
Thank
well, you.
You
know, again, Yeah, I was just going to say, now, I encourage everybody to go to the debt clock. Mm-hmm. Get familiar with it. And what I'm looking at right now is debt per person, debt per citizen, excuse me. And it says the debt per citizen equals the U.S. national debt divided by the number of U.S. citizens. So this means at birth, if you guys, this is tremendous when properly grasped. At birth, a U.S. citizen owes $97,590. And the debt per taxpayer is $253,686. Now, both of these are true. The one is lower for the debt per citizen because that's divided by the total population. And everybody doesn't pay taxes, you know, obviously children, and some people fall under the required minimum. But of taxpayers, their debt burden is $253,686. That's a lot of money to owe, you see. And like I say again, just with this per citizen, that's a newborn baby. They come into the world. And a lot of people don't understand how this impacts them. And let me just say this, and I don't want to get too technical, is that the Fed is curing a problem that they created. Imagine that. They say they want to lower inflation, but who created inflation? They did.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're mm-hmm. allegedly fixing a problem that they caused. So the point is, it's a bunch of poppycock. They're not trying to fix inflation. And it's going to hurt the average person. Let me give you another quick formula. And I encourage everybody to get a business or at least operate as a business. The way it's jiggered is that a business, they spend and then they're taxed on what's left over. That is, you know, they deduct all their business expenses, and then they're taxed on what's left over, meaning they pay a lower tax. Whereas the individual, all the tax burden is put on them. They're taxed first. They don't get a chance to deduct anything. And then they spend on what's left over. So the average person right now, when all taxes are calculated, they're working like 5 to 6 months out of the year just to pay taxes, you see? And that's where this debt per citizen comes in. And the average person can't get ahead just working one job. Now, I've worked up to 3 jobs. I don't have to do it again, but that's what I was saying about that 3 to 5 years. So the average person, if you're struggling right now, you've got to look within and find a way of generating more revenue because that's pretty much the only way one is going to get out of that. And I don't know if you guys could give some feedback. Now, I listen to it nationally, worldwide, and what have you, and it says that people are really struggling. Like I say, and the student loans, I think, they are coming due pretty soon, but with inflation, and they tell us that inflation is running at about, 4 to 5%, somewhere along in there. But anyone who's been to the market lately knows that it's triple that. It's triple that. It's much more than that. So people are cutting back on their
Hold on a second. Dre, let Mr. Solution fill in what he has to say. You can let them in. Please wait at the door until he finishes his comment.
Yeah, well, I was going to say people are having to cut back and on their grocery purchases and what have you because what the government is telling us is not true in terms of where inflation is. Inflation is now gobbling up a huge portion of our disposable capital. So, you know, let's work on ways of improving your revenue enhancement ability, ways that you can increase your revenue. Thanks. Go ahead.
Thank you. Come in,
sure.
Please. Who's at the door?
Dr. James. Hello?
Yes.
Hello, we can hear you.
You can hear me, right? It's
yes.
Dr. James. How you doing? Let me ask a
Great.
Couple of questions. I want to make some investments, and there's three different ways I'm considering. Either mutual funds, municipal bonds, or real estate. Which way do you think might be the best?
Go ahead, Ms. Eva Dene.
So mutual funds are secure, they're safe, guaranteed, based on your entry point. The real estate, people are always going to need to live somewhere. Real estate, to me, is never a bad idea. Never a bad idea. And it's also transferable. And when I say that, if by some chance you decide you want to come out of real estate and you get it at a good deal, then you can sell it. So you can earn while you have it. And if you ever want to come out, you can sell it. And you're selling it at a most likely, hopefully, a profit at the same time. People are always going to need someplace to live. But real estate is not just about residential. If you want to go into real estate, you might want to go into REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust. And that would be like the big shopping malls, the shopping centers. Those, that's what Warren Buffett has a lot. He actually has a mutual fund with REITs in it. So real estate could be residential or it could be commercial. But I personally like real estate. Municipal bonds, if I'm not mistaken, are tax-free because you're helping the municipality maintain the roads, quote-unquote, ha-ha. But you're helping them maintain the roads. You're helping the municipality stay afloat. So the return on that, I believe, is tax-free. That's the solution?
Well, you know, what I would tell him is to book an appointment with you. I will say this, though. Real estate is the most unique of all investments. It's not necessarily the most profitable, depending on how one purchases it, getting the proper price. You know, they talk about location, location, location. So I would say is to book an appointment with a fiduciary. And to see that way, they can go over. This is like, let me just say it this way. This is almost like getting an operation. It is like getting an operation. I mean, they've got to look at your medical history and everything. And so that's what a bank does before they extend a loan to you. But I think what was said is good. You could definitely sit down with the fiduciary, financial advisor, and let them look at the whole scope for me, or study it so well that you know it and then run it by them. I mean, either way, you know, you want to get confirmation. But, yeah, that's what I would have to say about that.
Well,
what do you think?
I already talked to a financial advisor, and he recommended the municipal bonds. He said because if you buy municipal bonds, like in a state, for a state, like you said, you're not to pay any state taxes. And he said they're really up now. He told me something like 8%. My concern with real estate is I already have one house, and I am concerned with because of my I'm 63. You know, my age. Well, the maintenance of the property, because you have to, you know, maintain the property. You just don't buy the house and make money. Sometimes you have to do repair work. When you have tenants in the house, you have to fix things. And sometimes you get tenants that don't pay their rent. You know, you have to go back and forth to court. You have to pay you know, legal fees. I'm not going to necessarily live in the house because, like I said, I already have a house.
Right.
So it would be more of an investment. That's why I'm
Have you considered a management agency?
I have family members. One of my family members just died. He owned multi real estate dwellings. And he told me that what happens is, now I haven't done it, but he said with the management agencies,
mm-hmm.
you have to be very careful when you choose them, because they do is, some of them, the ones that are not so honest, they will, first of all, they get like 10% of the rent that you collect. Then they might get more than 10%, depending on what you agree to. Then if there's any repairs, you have to repair, you know, you have to pay for the repairs. So he said what they do sometimes is they'll be in cahoots with contractors so that every time they schedule a repair, they get a kickback. You know, that's what he was saying. So
what you're really saying is they have to be properly vetted, but they are viable in that a lot of people use them when the individual can't manage it themselves, like if it's out of state or if the person just doesn't have the time to manage it. It's just it's a consideration. It's a viable consideration, mm-hmm. I would say. But I understand what you're saying.
I used to have two buildings. I used to have another building. And it was, I was renting it out, two apartments, two stores. And I had a guy that I hired to collect my rent. And he was renting out. He was finding tenants for me. But he was charging them 2 months' rent to move in. But he was only giving me one. I'm on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he was charging me one. He was giving me 1 month rent. And he was putting one in his pocket. Now, he was only supposed to get like 10% or whatever. I caught him because the tenant told me. So I stopped using him. But like you said, you have to be very, very careful when you're using these individuals, your money, and do repairs, because they will sometimes try to rip you off. With the mutual funds, municipal bonds, you put your money in there, and then you make what you make, you know?
Well,
that's
let me say this just
I look at
quickly. Warren Buffett, considered one of the most successful investors, mm-hmm. maybe in U.S. history, but certainly up there, he buys and holds. That's what he does. He invests for the long term. He gets a good investment, does his due diligence, and then he holds it. And there's something called dividend aristocrats. Miss Eva Dene, are you familiar with that?
I am not. Continue.
Anyway, dividend aristocrats, those are stocks that pay a dividend consistently for like 25 years. I think they pegged it anywhere from 25 to 30 years. They're called dividend aristocrats. I'm sorry, say again?
To my understanding, those are typically taxed.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it just depends. I think mutual funds in a backdoor way are taxed also, because one has to include them in their total amount. But I don't want to get into that. That's something that one has to discuss on a one-on-one basis with their fiduciary, right?
Well,
but I'm just saying,
I discussed it with a financial planner. And he said the mutual funds, you don't pay state tax, but you still have to pay federal tax.
No, the
municipal bonds. Yeah, you have to pay federal
tax. The mutual funds, you do pay taxes on your
on both. Yeah,
right.
That's only when it's withdrawal, right?
And see, some people need that dividend revenue. So it was just something that I wanted to throw out there because it is a consideration. Mm-hmm. Maybe they cost a little bit more, but I know they perform, and, you know, one can reinvest the dividends to boost the overall earning capacity.
Initial, like a reinvestment.
What are they called again?
Reinvestment.
What are they called again?
The aristocrat.
Aristocrat. What is it? Mutual funds or stocks or what?
No,
aristocrat.
Dividend,
what?
Dividend aristocrats, and it's all part of the S&P 500. Those are the products that are in that.
Right.
Oh, so it's an S&P 500.
Yes.
Yeah, mutual funds are just a collection of stocks. So dividend
mm-hmm.
aristocrats are just considered. There's some of the stocks that retirees, particularly, from what I understand, pursue. But dividend
mm-hmm.
aristocrats.
Okay.
And those will be mutual. Those will be mutual funds.
Well, they can be. They're stocks. They're stocks. And, you know, stocks, mutual funds are comprised of a basket of stocks. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yes, okay.
So thanks. I just want to, anything else, Dr. James?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, still, you know, I got more questions, but let somebody else talk. Because, you know, I got a lot of questions.
Yes. I just wanted to...
Good question.
Okay, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, this is the last thing, and I want to regress. What I was going to say with the mutual funds, isn't that typically tied in with the life policies, the life insurance policies as well? Like if you do a term versus a whole life?
Like the annuity. Well, term policies are not earning any cash value, but whole life policies, they do earn cash value because, yes, the insurance company is investing in a variety of things, And there's a life insurance that has annuity benefits as well, like the single-pay annuity. There's a life policy in the universal life. Yeah, they're invested in the market. That's where the cash value comes from.
Mm-hmm. Thank
and
you.
For a number of
this
years, I just want
to
throw this out there. For a number of years, I've really come to love insurance companies.
Yes, I do. You know, what I say about life insurance and building wealth with life insurance
yes.
are two different angles. The first angle is whoever your beneficiary is, they need to be sitting down listening to our story. Because at the table, you know, we need to have this discussion because when that time comes, there's going to be a lump sum, like the young lady who called Dave Ramsey today, there's going to be a lump sum of money available. We need to make sure that our beneficiaries know exactly what to do with it. That's a term policy or a whole life. But a term policy is for a specific term. It does not earn cash value. Whole life and universal policies, they earn cash value, they earn dividends, a variety of things that can help, in some cases, it can help with retirement. If you have a policy and you've had that policy for 15, 20, 30 years, as we do at times, and it's time for you to retire, well, if you didn't get your apples and pears together and you do have debt, you could use that cash value to get rid of your debt, which will make your retirement much smoother with that income that you'll have or retirement income. The cash value, unless you have an increasing face value policy, that cash value will not be paid out to your beneficiary. Your face value will be paid out. So that cash is sitting there available to you. No one's going to get it. I say go get it and make the best of it. So that's either eliminating your debt if you're planning on retirement. It could be paying your child's college tuition, another college savings plan, right, indirectly. It could pay off your mortgage. Again, finish paying off your mortgage so that you're retired with no mortgage payment anymore. And it could also be used, as you pull it out, to buy another retirement product for yourself. You can buy something with that lump sum of money that will add to your monthly income, which is not a bad thing either. So it's using, I'll call it other people's money, because you're not going to get it any other way unless you pull it out. I love insurance for that, and I say it's building wealth because, again, when that time comes and someone transitions, there's a lot of money being played with. And unless people know what to do with it, and we see this all the time when people win the lottery and then they're broke a year later, if you don't have that education, if you don't have those steps in place or even just know where to get it because you happen to listen to something some years ago and that food for thought is still stuck in your head, you will lose it. You will lose it. You will squander it away, and somebody else around the world will be happy because you squandered it with them. But it's very valuable. Some people think of life insurance, and I say and promoting it, life insurance is not about death. It's about building wealth. It's about building wealth.
Let me give you a little addition to that. One of my philosophies is that one should become their own bank, and one should become their own insurance. I know that may be a little bit lofty. It's not out of range for those who. Go ahead.
Dr. James, can you mute yourself, please?
Yeah, you have to put me back on mute. I can't do it with this phone, but y'all can put me on mute.
Oh, okay. I don't.
I'm outside.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Solution, continue.
Yeah, thank you. No, I was just saying, I think insurance can always be utilized, and it probably always will for most of us in a lot of instances. But what I encourage people to do is to think about self-insurance, self-banking. You've heard the old adage that when one goes into a bank, that banks only lend to those who don't need money. Well, we want banks to be safe. As I know that's kind of sketchy in our today's world because the banks are kind of on weak foundations. But we do want banks to have a margin of safety, a great margin of safety. We don't want them lending our money to people who won't pay it back. We want the money to be paid back. And so I think that people need to, just going to the Dave Ramsey, I knew about this before I heard of Dave Ramsey, but he's kind of a modern guy. But Think and Grow Rich, you know, that's a phenomenal book to read regarding financial improvement. But I really think that one is doing it properly when they can self-insure. And now that doesn't mean that one doesn't use a bank. It just means that if you walk in there on an equal eyeball-to-eyeball with the banker, the banker knows what the deal is, and you're only going to deal with the bank if it's quid pro quo, if it's mutually beneficial. So that's the way I deal with banks and insurance companies. It has to be mutually beneficial because I see us, for all intents and purposes, working on at the same level. Does that make sense to you? Do you follow me?
It does. It does, yes.
And so that's what – but I want to share this. Now, again, I can't highly recommend this U.S. debt clock. I mean, when I go out on dates, and I was talking about two ladies that I took on a date, and we were kind of perusing this, you know, just as a topic of discussion. But anyway, I'm looking at the interest on the debt, and it's 369. 9 is billion, 12 is trillion. So we're paying $663 billion, $67 million, and you know how fast the 100,000 goes, but we're paying $663 billion on the the interest on the debt includes U.S. Treasury notes and bonds, government account series, GAS, and other special purpose securities. I mean, you know, we might as well give it up. we might as well throw in the towel. I don't know what you think. And you say you're not familiar with this, so please check it out. I mean,
I'm looking at it now.
Oh, you are? Oh, wonderful, gracious. So a lot of professionals, I was introduced to this over a decade ago, and you just see these numbers here, and you see the number. I was sharing this with Jay Sean. If this was an individual balance sheet or income statement, they would be absolutely bankrupt, because you see the U.S. federal debt to GDP, that's over in the left-hand corner where the U.S. national debt, and if you just come down and you see it highlighted in black where it says 1960, 1980, 2000, now. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to excavate that number just a little bit? If you're familiar enough to do it, I don't want to put that. But you see, we're 119.13 debt to GDP ratio. What does that mean in your economy? That's bankrupt,
gross
right?
Per person, yeah, it would be. It would be, and so everyone should take a look at that website and
come
to an understanding of it. It's usdebtclock.org. usdebtclock.org. I'm familiar with the clock because they have it at Times Square, and I just go to my left as I'm on the bus. I look to my left and just keep on going. But, you know, it gives us more reason to take responsibility for what we have and how we use it, how we save it, how we invest it. We want to be for ourselves and our families moving forward.
Right. And I'm going to share one other, and I would encourage you to bookmark this one, too. And I just did it on a dollar. The Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis – because this gives one real motivation for why – I lost it. Good grief. Oh, man. Well, this gives one motivation for – I lost my place. Let me reboot. But, I recall what it said. And what it said was that $1 in 13, I believe it calculated, it takes $30 to purchase the same as it did in 1913. So it's the same dollar is the point that Warren Buffett was talking about most people don't understand. It's the same dollar, but it has lost its purchasing power. Oh, wait a minute. Here, I got it again. I think it's playing games with me. Okay. All right. And so it says, what is a dollar worth? And I just put in $1, 1913, right, is worth $30.79. So it would take $30.79 of our today's dollars to – now let's just go to 1960. Let's just use that for example. And let's just say $100. I'm just plugging this in. $100 in 1960. If you can do it faster, I'm fine with that. But I'll have it in 1 second. I think that's 50. Okay. $100, it actually did 1950. I was trying to do 1960. $1,264.33. And this shows you why the woman was kicked out of the house to have to work in the market, because they depreciated the money. And inflation is a hidden tax. And so are you still there? Can you hear me?
No, yes, I can hear you, yes. We're just going to wind down very shortly.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just sharing that because I think it's crucial for people to know why they can't purchase, they can't buy anything. Now I got it for $160. I'm going to calculate. Okay, that's $1,028.86. Now you $100, right? In 1960, one would have to have $1,028 and just say $1,029 in today's dollars to buy the same thing that $100 did in 1960. Isn't that wild?
It's amazing. And so, just a little bit, that's probably why salaries go up, so that you can kind of only make ends meet.
But see, ma'am, they said the average person hasn't received, adjusted for inflation, a wage increase in something like 40 years. It's more than 40, but I'm just using. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know officially we're not making enough. I clearly feel that $20 an hour should be the federal minimum wage around the country, federal minimum wage, because that's only $800 a week. So we have a lot to talk about. I think this program is going to work very well. Again, disclaimer, neither of us are security brokers or agents, but we are here to share information, to receive information, to answer your questions. We will be here on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., and we're going to go through money in a good kind of way, understanding it, how it comes in, how it goes out, your old money, your new money. Solutions suggest, especially if you're young, to work 60 to 80 hours a week. And that will allow you to lay a foundation that you'll be able to walk on for the rest of your life and your children's life with all of the right education involved. He mentioned several books, the Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. There's also Think and Grow Rich with Napoleon Hill, Dr. George C. Frazier, Success Runs in Our Race. And I'm mentioning these, hopefully not going too fast. Do your research.
Right, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, we mentioned that too. And let me just ask you this. Now, are you on board with that 60 to 80 hours a week? Because I'm actually looking at that from a resource standpoint, from a creative standpoint.
I am.
Okay.
I am on board with it.
Go ahead.
But I'm on board with it as long as people are physically able, and I'm also on board with it with not necessarily having to clock in and work those 60 to 80. If you have a 40-hour and then you have a business, if you have a traditional business, and if you have a 40-hour work week as an employee and you have a home-based business, but the idea is that you want to almost double your income within a week, not wear yourself out or down. And so that also opens the door for older people. You may not be able to be out in the field working all those hours, but with different home-based businesses, you could generate that income from home and allow that income to be your investment income as well. But it's all about the strategy.
Right, and I don't want to downplay this. Health, I don't know if you heard me say it last time, but health plays a vital role in this particular equation because one has to be healthy, but one also has to be focused, and it's going to take a focused awareness for a little bit of time. And I tell young people also, take intern programs, be willing to travel, be mobile, and be competitive. Because my position has always been is to outcompete any competitor that I'm confronted with. And so that's going to be important. Go ahead.
No. I like the way that sounds. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, see, a lot of people don't transmute their athletic prowess over into their personal lives. Use that same competitive spirit to beat the system. Robert Kiyosaki talks about how the system pushes us around. It literally, now a lot of people can't see that. It's like the predator. It's translucent. It's virtually invisible to the average person. So these tools that I'm giving you right now is how we get pushed around through our, in the scriptures, I think it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? In other words, ignorance. And when I show you here, I can... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm going to shut up. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's just that, you know, Blog Talk doesn't have the greatest audio. So, you know, a person can do, I'm going to do 1980, you know, just so, see, this includes everybody. I'm doing 80, and I'm going to just, it's real, this tool is real easy to use. And you can see the downward momentum our government is corrupting our money. And they should know. Now, this is the Federal Reserve. There are 12 of these. And they are the ones that regulate the money. All right. And $100 in 1980, think of this, one would need $369.24 in today's money to purchase the same thing that $100 purchased in 1980. So that's the reason your gas is costing so much. That's the reason a house, you remember homes, one could get a good home in the 1950s for like $15,000. And certainly for $20,000, right? Hello? Uh-oh. Hello? Anyone there?
Yeah, we can still hear you, Calusius.
Oh, okay. I think, did Miss Eva Denae, did she drop off or what?
She must have dropped, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
dropped.
She lost the call. We got to wait for her to call back in. But we got to wind down. Oh, okay, 1 second. She's back. 1 second.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead and do what you have to do. What I'm trying to do.
Hi, yes, I am back. Thank you. I'm sorry about that.
Go right. I just got one quick question because we got about 5 minutes left, so I didn't want to really interrupt the show. But I got an email from the bank that I bank with, and they had told me that this is Jay Sean. They had told me that if I wanted to start a automated investing, I could just start it with $500. Could anybody give me any knowledge of automated investing, what that might be?
Well, that would be like an automatic withdrawal. They would automatically take a certain amount out of some revenue that you're earning and invest it for you.
Okay.
No, I'm asking
you.
Is,
I don't know. They just sent me an email saying. They just sent me an email saying that I could start automated investing for as low as $500.
Okay. Could I just share something briefly with you?
Yes.
This is the way I deal with banks. This is the way I deal with financial institutions. Someone needs to mute just for a moment. I go in and I sit down. It's good to talk with the person in charge, like the branch manager or whatever, and have your questions so you can be concise and succinct. But the bottom line is this. Is I don't pay. Now, I have to keep, one has to keep a certain balance. It's got to be quid pro quo, but after that, no fees, zero fees. Understand me very clearly. Now, I've had institutions, I've had a certain amount of money in there, and they say, well, we want to charge you for a statement. I say not no, but hell no. And if you push it, I'll take my money out of the institution. And I'm not kidding either. Because, and this is a principal thing. I mean, could I afford the fee? Of course. Just like they can afford not to charge me. And Ms. Eva Denae, I would like to get your chiming in on this. If I need a, say for example, I need a notary or if I need a copy, I don't want to pay 50 cents or nothing, zero, no fees. Go ahead.
No, that's correct. And you have the right to say that to them. You're a customer. They're already making money off of your money.
Exactly.
So it should be a service. That, you know, it should be a service that they provide to the customers. That's why the doors are open.
Right. They're greedy. They're greedy. And it's nothing personal, but I'm just saying to people, look, attach your gonads, your ovaries, whatever applies, and, you know, be a negotiator. This is all part of being a competitive negotiator. That's what I'm talking about. And when you work that 60 to 80 hours, and I understand what you said, Ms. Eva Denae, is that there are different ways to do it. I got it. I get that. But it equals pretty much to the same thing. And as a result of that, that empowers an individual. Go ahead. I'm finished. But look here. This is something I love. This is wonderful. This is what one must do as an adult. And remember, if you don't care that much about it, you want to teach it to your kids and grandkids because they'll be slaughtered by the system.
Thank you. Mr. Solution?
Yes.
Can you hear me? I think we
yes,
had a
I
great
can.
Time. I think we had a great time. I think we've shared a lot of great information. Jay Sean, I hope your question was answered. I would definitely
yes.
see them face-to-face to also make sure it's not a spam and it's not a fraud. But opening up an account with $500, and then automatically you'll agree to have them take out $50 a month from your account to put it in. You still want to be in control of whatever products you choose, and you want to look and see if what they're offering you is worthy. As our nephew Omar said, you know, there are CDs that are offering 5.6%. So that's not bad. That's really good compared to 2% of what it was over for many years. So just look at the different options. Look at what they're offering you. But make sure it's a valid email from your bank.
That's an excellent point.
We got about two more minutes.
So
yes,
you wanna, each of y'all could get 1 minute.
I was going
okay,
to close
go ahead,
it
Ms.
out.
Eva Denae.
Just thank everyone for coming on. Teamwork makes the dream work, and we're just hoping that we can get some dreams fulfilled with sharing information. We welcome you to come back next Tuesday, and again, it should be every Tuesday up until September 25th. And if it works well, who knows, we may stay. Thanking Keeping It Real, Jay Sean, and Dre for allowing us to come on board and sharing our information. You can come back on to Keeping It Real and listen to it recorded. You could also contact me, 347-457-2769. If you have any questions, you can text your questions or email your questions to teamfollowme@yahoo.com so that we can respond to them. If you want it responded to offline, I can help you with that. We can help you with that. I am pleased with today. Mr. Solution?
Yeah, and I am too. Look, I would encourage people to, if we're still on the air, to do a little bit of research. And I just wanted, what's your website?
Thank you. My website is networkingforsuccess.info. Networkingforsuccess.info.
Networking for success?
That is correct. All words spelled out. Networking, F-O-R, success.info.
.info. Okay. I-N-F-O. Okay, excellent. All righty. I'll check in with you guys I know we'll talk before next Tuesday. I may not be here next Tuesday now, but I'll listen. I will definitely listen. But this
Thank
has
very
really
much.
Been good, and I've enjoyed it.
Thank you, everyone. I'm wishing you a great every day. And again, budget up so you can budget up.
All right. Everybody have a good night. We'll see you Tuesday, next Tuesday.